Cups, about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Manchester United 1, Leicester City, the Foxes 2. United lose the quick sandwich game in between 3 games, 5 days. City won the title. Aye. City won the title. At least we lost the title probably back in February. But either way, no one likes breaking down a defeat. How you doing? How you feeling?
Sir, look, you know, we played the kids, we lost to Leicester, we drew a significant blow to the Scouse Bastards, you know, big-time rivalry. They're not going to be in Europe, sir, most likely. I think they have like a 20-something percent chance right now. That was a big blow to their hopes for Champions League football. So at least we're going to have a laugh there. As far as the title, look, it's been decided for a while, sir. You know, I'm not going to congratulate them. No need. Stadium's still empty, sir. The city is not yours. Manchester is red, my man. So, look, let's focus on what we can do. Let's win that trophy. Let's get second place and beat the Scouse Bastards Thursday. What a week, a crazy week of fixtures here for the American Red Devils. Pod never sleeps.
So the pod never sleeps indeed. Tell the wives, tell the kids, hey, I got 3 games, 5 days. It is what it is. But you know what? Nothing like the Scousers. We're going to beat them. We're going to bash them up. You have to say, we played all the kids, rotated the whole side. A lot of things I have come taken away from that. First of all, Ole should have rotated more because there's some good depth in this team that we should have been utilizing earlier. A la Mata, Matic, Donny, Ahmad. And also, like, we hung with them, you know. Set piece defended again. We got caught out the first goal. But either way, it's like, you know, the kids gave them a run for their money. And there's some real talent in this squad.
No, absolutely. And I love to see it from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Sir Alex would always play kids when the league was decided. I mean, top four is locked. You got a tight round of fixtures. You got to rotate big. And like I took that same takeaway, like Sir Alex would get away with one sometimes. And I think Ole hasn't learned that rhythm of like sometimes during the season when people are haggard and you got big fixtures ahead, you rotate big. Get critical players, lots of rest, and actually you end up playing pretty well. I thought we played well today. I mean, Greenwood, sir, he's like the we talked about Rooney. He's like RVP. Rooney, Van Nistelrooy, all in one. I mean, he can do it all. Ahmad and him linking up, that we're gonna see a lot more of that. I think the future is bright for Manchester United, other than the Glazer scum, sir. We all know that, but the youth looks absolutely fire. Mangala.
Dude, Gala, Ahmad, Greenwood, what a player. 19 years old. He looks far older than that. Maturity beyond his years. There's a lot of things to be excited about. You could say we should have rotated more like you talked about in the past, and you're probably right because, dude, this is a good side. When we did play attacking football, the link-up looked good. It looks like what they've been learning, you know, for that tried-and-true first 11 has been trickling down to the other side, the rest of the players, because I saw a lot of goodness today as well. Obviously, you want to win. It was scratchy as hell at times. Our defending looked out of sorts at times, but that's to be expected. We made so many changes. But, hey, at least we're taking away Champions League from the Scousers, and they're blaming us. Like, they didn't lose 6 games in a row, bro. It's like, I love that they're, like, blaming United for missing out on Champions League football. You love to see it.
How could you say, like, integrity of the game? I mean, like, really? Are you kidding me? It's like, look at how tight the fixtures are. Integrity of the game. There's 3 games in 5 days, and they all matter. And it's like clearly we're going to rest people to beat Liverpool. I mean, Ole wants to beat Liverpool. Put the knife in them. They're done. No Champions League. Have a laugh. And like you can tell Ole set up for that. And I absolutely agree with the call. 100%. I agree with the call to play the kids today.
And it's not like we didn't try to win the game. They put on Rashford, Cavani, and Bruno Fernandes to try and win the game. So they're sour grapes. The Scousers have always been sour losers, sour winners, even when they won the title last year. I ain't worried about no Scousers. I want to beat them up, though, now. Can't wait. The boys are well-rested. Didn't like seeing Harry in the boot today. That looks worrisome.
I mean, talk about Harry Maguire. So much criticism from fans, you know, like he hasn't lived up to that price tag. And finally, he goes down with injury and we're all nervous. So like when you're talking smack on a player that's as reliable as Harry Maguire, you don't notice until he's out of the squad.
That's absolutely right. You know,
the value he provides us being healthy so much. And then finally he goes down. Wow. It's like a shock. Shocked to see him in that boot. I felt the same thing.
No, because he's been captain dependable. And also, you know, I don't think he would have started today given the fixture pileup. But when he does, we just look so much more assured at the back. He offers so much. Obviously, he should be scoring more headed goals. You know, I can't pronounce the player's name on Leicester who did score the header from a corner. But we need more of those, like Dunkaroos, like we used to see from Slabhead all the time.
I'm going to say Sonyechu. I don't know, sir. I'm actually, I think I butchered what I say. I said Elanga, not Igala. I it was like a mix between Elanga and Igalu is what I said earlier. So at the American Red Devils, pronouncing names is like, that's kind of how players get into the team. You know, we start with mispronouncing their names. And then once they start playing in a few more games, there's like, what's the over under on games it takes for you to play for the first team for us to figure out your name?
10. Depending on how much you play and how difficult your name is. Anthony Elanga, I believe is his name, the Swede. He looked a top player too. He didn't get to show off too much, but he's got rapid speed. And we got Hannibal behind him, who scored a belter in the U23s a couple of days ago and then got sent off. So, dude, he looks like he's ready to go as well. There is a lot of talent in the ranks, and there's a lot of top quality players. The only thing we got is this, you know, these damn owners sucking the lifeblood out of this lovely club.
Sir, what a game, and it felt like a Sir Alex rotation at the end of the season. You know, vintage United, old school Manchester United, Sir Alex, we miss you very much. Quick PSA for the podcast. We are for fans, by fans. What that means to us is we do not have any private commercial sponsorship. We are supported directly by you, the fans. There's a few ways you can do that and help out, keep the lights on in the bunker, sir. We think the best way to do that is Patreon. You can visit our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We post exclusive podcasts. We post unique designs or new designs we're coming out with as well. New merch ideas on Patreon. So it's really behind the scenes view of the American Red Devils podcast. We have 44 Patreon members. We're looking for 100. There's four tiers. You can sign up and support us from $1 a month to $20 a month. We're giving away shirts, stickers, scarves, pins, you name it. Pick your plan. Pick what's right for you. Support the American Red Devils via Patreon. And if Patreon is not your thing, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have a great blog. And you can click on store, get some Glazers Out merchandise, sir. We have the new green and gold Glazers Out scarves in stock, sir. We sold out because, you know, the Glazer protest is catching momentum. So pick it up. It's $9.99. Everything Glazers Out is $9.99 at AmericanRedDevils.com, sir. Tell them about the iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews have been coming in hot. We've had some good ones recently, and they're a great way to support the American Red Devils without spending any money, and they help us be found organically. So if you can, this is all you got to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's cheeky, even better. We love that. Send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will get you some free Stanley Chow design stickers right to your door. It's a great way to support the pod. Doesn't cost a single dollar, and it goes a long way, sir. You want to break down this game?
Absolutely. Let's jump into it. Manchester United 1, Leicester City 2, Old Trafford. The Premier League, sir, it's coming to an end. It's getting warm outside. The kids are playing. You know the season is almost over. Jumping to that lineup, we had Dave Sayes, world number one in net. Alex, tell me about Telles at left back. The Bai Twanzebe center back combo we've been dreaming of. B-dubs on the right. Van de Beek, Matic midfield. Elanga on the left. Mata in the hole, Ahmad on the right, and Greenwood up top, sir. Nobody got this lineup, huh?
Not a single person. I'll tell you what, you said it. It's like a reminiscent of end of season squad. You know, we got a cup final. It's our last Premier League game. It's already been done and dusted. This is like a Fergie special. So when I saw it, dude, I know how many fixtures are coming up. I'm not worried about Scousers finishing in Europe. I mean, so when I saw it, I was like, this is great. A lot of players that, you know, haven't got a chance to see too much of, Ahmad being one of them. Elanga, I've only seen him on the under 23s. And, you know, you need to rotate. This is what it looks like. I was excited to see it. So maybe not like a de facto they're going to win against Leicester, third/fourth rated team in the league. But, you know, there's no reason they can't hold their own, right?
No, totally. And I thought this was a good lineup. I mean, Ahmad, need to see more Ahmad. You know, like I really think like 82nd minute, like attacking sub, like we're up or we're down. Like I think we should have seen more Ahmad this year. I feel like he hasn't got enough. You know, he seems like a player that Sir Alex would be like pipping in like that. You know, up 3-1, he's sending Ahmad, like have a go, you know. I felt like Sir Alex is more like that.
I could say the same. I would agree 100%, sir. Same with Ahmad. Same with Matic. You know, I know in the second half it wasn't as good, but in the first half he was like dribbling through folks. Lots of good passing. Donny, to a certain extent, you know, those are three players that should have featured more, may have helped us be a little bit closer towards City if we rotated a little bit more effectively. But, you know, it's good to see. Better late than never, right?
Absolutely. Should we jump into this match?
So let's jump into that match. You know, this is not quite the Roma second leg game in terms of action at either end, but United come out, and to be honest, we had difficulty playing out of the back.
I mean, this is, we had difficulty.
Would you agree? I mean, I would say that was like the big takeaway of the opening 10 was like, we're really trying to play out the back, and Leicester is trying to exploit that.
Sir, I think I tweeted like minute 5. All right, I think it's time to boot it up. I think it's time for De Gea to just like boot it up. Like this was just like, we clearly could not do it. I mean, Leicester's a great team. They're fit. They're pressing. I mean, you know, you just got to abandon the strategy.
No, you're absolutely right. Break it up a little bit, sir. I hope your Skype connection holds. But in the 8th minute, Alanga actually tracked back well, put in a really good block. You saw some of his pace and just love to see it. All action players doing the offensive side, defensive side. You love to see it. That's something that Ole would have clearly been happy to see. And then in the 11th minute, oof, it was Leicester. United were caught out. Let's see it.
Now, here's Tielemans. And there's a great volley. Thomas was coming in, and he volleys into the top corner.
Sir, nice cross in. United were just completely out of sorts at this point. Twanzebe was caught out. Didn't have the best game, to be honest, for him. And then just a worldie of a finish. You know, it wasn't quite the hit against Villa, but it was a pretty solid first-hand take. Went in the same corner, but quite a goal.
Look, I think it's safe to say we lost the first 10 minutes here. You know, I think our strategy didn't work. I think we're under constant pressure. I think Leicester were at us. And then I think some people would be like, all right, did Ole get it wrong? But we only had to wait 4 more minutes, sir, in the 15th to see the result of the youth connection.
Two players that are going to have a bright future in this United side.
Gets into the box. Ahmad waits for a bit of support. Now Greenwood. Greenwood's! Oh, what a strike. What a player. Teenage kicks. Ahmad. Greenwood. 1-1.
Sir, you have to say, first and foremost, Ahmad, well done. Good strength in kind of holding off the Leicester defender. And then, you know, one of the nicest goals we've seen from Mason Greenwood at Manchester United. And he scored some peaches of goals. But his ability to shrug off 3 defenders at pace and then finish the far corner that would make Ruud van Nistelrooy proud. That is an unbelievable finish from the youngster. Unbelievable.
Sir, he's a teenager.
No, he cost nothing.
He's like, I mean, look, sir, I mean, I got the Mason Greenwood rookie card. You know, I'm a fan, sir. You know, it's like, I'm a big fan of Mason. He's going to come due. It's just keep him at Manchester United, you know. That's the goal.
Absolutely. Get him to sign a 10-year agreement. I mean, he seems to be enjoying his football under Ole. He's got Master and Apprentice with Cavani that we talk about enough, but he is such a talent. It's you know, top draw. Getting back into the game, sir. There wasn't a ton of action in this first half. A little cagey. Neither team really pushing forward too much once it was tied at 1-1. Last thing that's really notable, 28th minute, Dave saves. He was pulled into a good save after Tielemans put in this like looping shot, almost looked like a cross, but went to far. It was going in, and De Gea popped it over. That was basically it for the first half. What do you think Ole was saying to the B squad to get up for the second half?
Hey, look, it's 1-1. I don't know if the tie would have given City the title. I think it might have. I would have to double check the math, but I probably won't ever. Either way, I think we're thinking, hey, let's win it. I mean, we got some killers on the bench. Ole would bring him in. You know, Cavani's come when he comes on, he's good for a goal. So steady the course. Ole's not panicking here. And he knows if we lose or tie, it's just going to kill Scouse Bastards. So at the end of the day, it's so, you know, whatever happens is a win.
It's a win-win. It was actually, if we drew, it wasn't settled yet. It had to be a loss. So, okay. But anyway, Leicester looked a little bit more assured coming out of the second half. And it was actually first bit of action, 54th minute. Telles put in a really good free kick. He has a nice left boot. You must say that about Alex Telles. But Mason couldn't quite get on the end of it. He likes the worldly goals. But you have to imagine Cavani. This would be bread and butter stuff for him if he was in.
No, totally. Telles is so dangerous on the left foot, crossing it in. I mean, he's great.
He certainly is. 58th minute. United were a bit pinned back at this point. And it was like kind of a calamity. We were a little bit scratchy, giving the ball away. Dave saves, pulled into a big save, coming out well, blocking with his body. But nicely done from David De Gea. Sir, and then the 65th minute, United are defending a corner. And this is like, I hate to say it, schoolboy stuff. You don't make a sub when you're defending a corner. We bring on the double sub, right? Obviously going for intent. Rashford and Cavani come on for Greenwood and Elanga, going for the win. But as soon as they came on.
Sir, hold on. Before you get in that, I didn't know that you didn't do the double sub on the corner.
You don't do like any sub. Like you never sub when you're defending a corner.
Okay.
That's just like kind of like an old, like a traditional classic rule of the game is like, it's just bad protocol.
Okay. What if you sub in a taller gentleman for in the corner? You know what I'm saying? Like what if you subbed on Harry Maguire here? Like, I mean, I think is it just like the bad juju of not being warmed up in the corner, I guess, you know?
I think it's like the fact that you're going to be thrown in and you haven't had a chance to like settle and you're kind of, you know, I don't know why it is, sir. I'm not a football expert. I'm like a numpty. I don't know nothing. But I just know. I've heard that even before. I think who was saying it? But I know I've heard this before. It's like you don't make a sub. You don't make a sub. Phelan was saying it. It's like in relation to subbing on corners. You don't do it.
So you're about to say like some guy I don't remember told me that you don't sub on a corner. You know, regardless, I'm sure I took your word for it, but I just wanted to ask you for a clarification because I'm willing to admit when I don't know, and I didn't know that you don't sub or double sub a corner. But I'll take it. I'll take your word for it.
That's what I've been told to the Grapevine fans. If you've heard differently, tweet at us. I'm very curious to know. Let's see it. Speaking of which, not doubling, doing a sub in the corner of the 65th minute. Oof, I wish we looked as dangerous from corners.
Quickly.
Soyuncu! Chu. Powerful header, and Leicester lead again.
Sir, the guy, one of the guys that came on, Marcus Rashford, looked completely caught out, and then Matic just climbed upon, doesn't go for the header really at all, so he's caught out as well. Advantage Leicester, 2-1.
Sir, what didn't Soyuncu get a – he was suspended for the game we played them last game of the season for top four? I thought he was suspended coming into the game. Either way, I feel like this is his revenge. You know, he didn't get to play in that game, comes in. Look, Leicester got the goal. I still thought we would equalize, honestly. I actually thought we were right in it, especially with Cavani on the field.
Oh, we were. I mean, we certainly were. The last, like, bit of action, at least for Leicester, before United started peppering them, but at least, like, turning up the screws. 73rd minute, Leicester almost scored another goal after United were caught out. 78th minute, Bruno comes on for Ahmad. Speaking of intent. You know, there's no bigger big gun at Manchester United at the moment than Bruno Fernandes. So obviously Ole was going for it. 84th minute, Juan Mata with a nice cut in, finds the ball, tries to find Cavani, can't quite get at the end of it, but it was a good opportunity to level up the game. 90th minute, Williams actually put in a great ball, but Rashi can't quite connect. And then 91st minute, Bruno just overhits a nice ball to Cavani. You thought, you know, we've seen it before, like a perfect cross. He's going to be there with a header, and that's, you know, a tied game, at least denies City a little bit longer until I think they play Palace.
Bruno had a chance. He sliced wide, remember? He tried to hit it off the up volley, and he sliced it wide. If there was a chance that was going to go in, it was that one. But, you know, we had a few, not enough. It wasn't quite turning the screws. They were hanging on. Like, you know, it was pretty pedestrian for United at the end. Honestly, we kind of knew the result didn't matter. I think, you know, just the lineup itself speaks volumes. Look, played for the draw, sir. I predicted the draw. We got the L. What does it matter? It doesn't matter at all. Shitty win the title. Scouse Bastards are screwed. and then let's beat him and put the knife in him. I think if you really know Manchester United and you know Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, there's a certain extra something for the Scouse bastards, my man. And if we rest everyone to beat them and make sure they don't get European football, I would say that is the best win you could get other than the Europa League trophy and beating City for the title. So I do think that that is how Ole's thinking in the league, and I like it.
He wants to get one on Klopp, right? Everyone talks up Klopp all the time and how good the Liverpool side are. They clearly didn't respond well after winning the title last year, but we haven't had enough victories against Liverpool recently. I'm glad to see this. This is the game of the two games. This is the game you want to lose. You never want to lose a game. This is the team. This is the game you can afford to lose. So all about Thursday. I tell you what, it's going to be a strong squad. No Harry. He's got that boot. That's a real worrisome boot. But everybody else is going to be fit and firing, ready to go.
Sir, I have a source in the Greek police that tells me that that boot is just for show.
It might be. That's a Fergie special.
Stats. Manchester United 53% of the ball to Leicester's 47% shots. Leicester 12 to R4, sir. I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. Corners 4 to R3, sir. I mean, reaction-wise, Ahmad Diallo Traore assisting Mason Greenwood is the first time two teenagers have combined for a Premier League goal since May 2006 when David Weider set up Adam Johnson for Middlesbrough against Bolton Wanderers, sir. I mean, that is quite the bit of history we just saw. That is a big-time duo right there. Ahmad on the right, Greenwood at 9. And by the way, the more we see Greenwood at 9, the better he's playing. And Anthony Elanga is the 14th player from the Manchester United Academy to be handed their debut by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Think of that, sir. 14, United DNA. That is what Ole is all about. And this is the first time two teenagers, Anthony Elanga and Ahmad Traore, are making their Premier League debut for Man United at the same time since February 2016 when Marcus Rashford and Timothy Fosu-Mensah debuted against Arsenal. Sir, youth. You love to see it. But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Hi, Ole.
Hi.
What did you make of your side's performance tonight? The 10 changes you always said it would be impossible to start the same 11 again. And the damage was significant.
It took some time to get going. But after they scored, it looked like we dropped our shoulders, the nerves went, and we started playing and we scored a fantastic goal, and I'm very pleased with the performance. Ahmad, very good. Elanga will surely remember this, loads of enthusiasm, so very pleased with him.
Simon Stone?
Simon Stone? Mason again looked excellent. He seems to have just found his form again.
Yeah, well, I think he's had his form for a long time. I think he's played really, really well for a long, long spell. And today he looked, you know, when he looks to his right and his left, and he's got Ahmad and Anthony next to him, two lads making their Premier League starts, debuts. He thinks he's got to be the main man and he's got to take responsibility, and he did. I thought his performance was very mature. Looked like a 29-year-old, not the 19-year-old.
Samuel Lucas.
Sorry, he's spot on about that. You gotta love the non-question from Simon Stone. Just like he's on form. Yes, he is in form, scoring goals. But Ole was spot on the maturity.
Simon Stone's got he's got IT issues, man. Every time we do a presser on the pod, first of all, the audio. Just telling everyone here, the audio is tough to get after the game. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's good. But then the Simon Stone, like, for him to go off mute is like ages, mate. It's just like, you're Simon Stone. You're going to get asked a question. And then you say, Mason Green was pretty good, huh? Like, come on, man. Like I would be asking some more important questions, you know?
You're spot on, sir. Absolutely right. I got to give a special shout out to Tom H. I meant to do it when Greenwood scored the goal. Huge fan of the pod. We were talking about how much Arlo White sucks. He just says unprovoked email to the American Red Devils at Gmail, giving us his thoughts about Arlo White. Couldn't agree more. I watched the game on mute, but anyway, I just wanted to shout out to Tom H. Appreciate you for supporting the pod. But Simon Stone, sir, it's like, That's how he stays in close with Ole Camp and ManUnited.com is like, nice softball questions.
No, I don't dislike Simon Stone, but, you know, it's sort of like, you know, from the press conference game, ever since it went virtual, he kind of lost his edge. You know, Simon Stone needs to be in the room. That's when he's the guy. But when he's on the Skype, he doesn't hit as hard, sir. Simon Stone, he probably listens to the podcast. What do you say?
Definitely. Number one fan.
All right, checking in with the table. We got shitty at 80 points, sir. You were right. If we drew, we would have put it off till their next match. So City on 80 points, title winners. I don't think anybody cares, honestly. I think when Shitty win the league, like technically, yes, you won it, but everyone cares so little, including your like weak fan base, that it almost does the Premier League a disservice by them winning it. Like, you know, when the Scouse Bastards won it, you're like, oh man, yeah, that's like, they won it. People are going crazy. You know, it seemed like a big event. And City winning it is just like nothing. Nothing. So it's bad for them to win it. You know, it's like if Leicester wanted to be much more exciting, you know, if we wanted to be much more exciting. So they're just a soulless club, and anyone who supports them, you just have to question their fabric as a human being.
So that's a really good point, because it's like if anyone's having a tough day after the loss, just go watch the celebrations outside the Etihad, like 40 guys and a saxophone player having a laugh. It's like you're actually 100% right. And this is one of the, you know, shame on them letting the foxes into the henhouse 18 years ago with Abramovich first. But this is the problem with plastic oil money clubs. It's like they don't have any fans. They don't have any fans. It's like nobody was there. It looked sad. It really did.
Yeah, it is sad, sir. It is. But again, best club in the world, Manchester United with 70 points, sir. A big point tally for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the lads. Leicester City 66, Chelsea 64, West Ham 58, Liverpool Scouse Bastards 57, Tottenham 56, Everton 55, the Gunners 52. Sir, you know what's great? Is that we have been in sixth place like last season. And when you're like in sixth place, like you can't say anything, but we're second among some strong teams, and a lot of big teams are missing out on European football. You love to see a Tottenham have a laugh. Arsenal have a double laugh, sir. Double laugh with cheese. You know, when it comes to like West Ham, you're like, ah, nice effort. Liverpool, you know, I mean, Scouse Bastards, you know, shove it. I love to see it. The table's shaping up to look good. I think next year is the big year. I think we pick up some players in the offseason to get the Glazers out of here and move on to number 21.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. You love to see how the table plays out. Looks like it's going to be set. I mean, we'll kind of, the game on Thursday will set in stone whether anybody else has a chance. But I hate to say, I was saying when you said six last year, it's like I remember being in that position where we're like scrambling until the last day in order to qualify for Champions League and how nervy that was. At least this year, it's like, you know, the only thing I care about is the Europa League and finishing second. That's it. And we should be able to do both pretty soon, because if we don't do it against the Scousers, I think if we beat, who is it, Fulham on Tuesday, that should do the job.
No, totally. And we've come a long way since then, is my point as well. So, like, some fans who want to hate on this progress, like, you should remember where we were 12 months ago. You know, obviously, it's been crazy with COVID and everything, but I would actually think that makes it more difficult to perform at this level and gives Ole more credit, you know? So I think we really have to be pumped as fans and, like, cheer on the lads to get that trophy, because I think that will be the cherry on top of what is a good year on the way to competing at the top of Europe and trying to win number 21, sir. Speaking of trying to win number 21, well, we can't do it this year, but we sure hate these, you know what. So Manchester United versus the Scouse Bastards at Old Trafford at home, sir. Unfortunately, there'll not be any fans. Thursday, May 13th, noon, 12:15 Pacific, 3:15 Eastern. Great kickoff time, sir. It's going to be a big match. Will it go through this time? It's the second time they're trying to play this match because the fans burned the mother down the first time. Apparently, the protest is for this match. The fans were not going to protest Leicester City, so we'll be interesting to see how it goes and if there's any delays here. What do you think? We kicking off at 12:15?
You know, I would think so. I don't know if you've seen the barriers outside Old Trafford, but it's like set up like Fort Knox at the moment. So I think they're planning ahead. They know they need this game to go through. If we're going to, like, you know, finish the season out, there's already a tight run of fixtures. It's also midweek. I don't think you're going to see quite as many fans show up as we did on the weekend. for good reason. People got jobs, people got families, but we'll see. I hope fans are still out there letting their voices be heard, because nothing's changed at the end of the day. And, you know, we got to get the season done. I don't want the game to be delayed, but I'd like to see green and gold outside, because why not?
No, absolutely. I would say, you know, peaceful protests, you know, no need to like riot, but sing songs, occupy the square, you know, just make your voices heard throughout the whole match. I think that would have a great effect. And I think we have to keep the pressures on the Glazers. So coming into the match, Liverpool's been all over the place. They beat Southampton. They drew Newcastle, drew Leeds. Then they drew Madrid. And then most recently, obviously, when they got bounced to Champions League, they lost to Aston. No, actually, I did that in reverse chronological order. So you're keeping me honest. So restarting that list, in April, they beat Villa, they drew Madrid, then they drew Leeds, then drew Newcastle, and then they just beat Southampton. So, sir, they're dying. Like, bounce out of Champions League, can't find a win against Newcastle and Leeds, have a laugh. I mean, they're there for the taking. And this is one thing about the Scouse Bastards, is we got to put them to the sword. We really need to do that, because it's been tough against them. So we played a lot of nil-nils, a lot of negative football. We've given them too much respect. I think now in our house, we got to attack, and absolutely murk them.
No, I think you're spot on, because in the past, we've given them way too much respect. And maybe, you know, they're a better team last year. Certainly a better team last year than they are this year. But we kind of played them this year like they're the same team they were last year. And I think Ole now knows we have a better side, like no doubt, and especially on form. So we need to take it to him. He needs a big victory. Let's, you know, keep pushing the point total up as far as we can go. And let's get one against the Scouse Bastards. You know, we didn't do you a favor by losing to Leicester, and now we're really not going to do you a favor by beating your ass.
No, totally. And how we're thirsting for this. I mean, we broke this down before. We're re-breaking this match down again, obviously, because of the delay. You know, but our last Premier League win against the Scouse Bastards was a 2-1 dub in March 2018, which is 3 years ago, sir. Rashi had a brace. Bailly had an own goal. Like I said, Sanchez, Lukaku, Young, Valencia, Smalling started, and off the bench, Fellaini, Lingard, and Darmian. If it shows you how far we've come since the last win against Liverpool, it's like a whole another team. We got to beat them, sir. I want VAR to give us a few pens. Bruno, finish them. Klopp will be waving around on the sidelines. That's how I want to do them dirty, sir.
As long as I can see pissed off Klopp, that'll make me happy. You know, a United victory, he'll be mad about something. He'll be blaming. He won't be blaming his players, but he'll be blaming the ref. He'll be blaming the grass. Can't wait. There's nothing that would make me more happy if we could beat him. I think we have to put him on the pod as well, sir. Just hear him whinge for like a minute. Yeah. That'd be great. That'd be classic.
No, totally. And like, you have to also like take it in the global context of the Scouse Bastards and their club. The worse this year is for them, the higher the odds that this squad breaks up, right? You know, the Salahs of the world, the Manes of the world, apparently there's a feud there. Like, I think there's an opportunity where if they don't get Champions League football, people start looking around and they might want a deal. And then that kind of breaks up this team. So if we saw the best they had and that's going, then that's like the best thing ever, right? Because the last thing we need is the Scouse Bastards like actually competing for extended periods of time, right? So this might be the right time to put the dagger in. They don't get UCL football, maybe like a Salah leaves or something. That will benefit us greatly.
I didn't even think about this. This guy's playing 3D chess. Here I am playing checkers. That's great. Just like put the sword in them, not just because, you know, deny them European football. There's even a case where we can deny them Europa League football, sir. How much fun would that be? But also, you know, push them to the edge. They start disbanding and players start leaving, because I would imagine Mo Salah wants to play some kind of European football next year.
That's big, dude. Like, sir, I'll tell you what. You know, Pogba hinges on trophies and silverware. You know what I'm saying? Players stay when things are good. Players leave when things are bad. That's just how it goes. They're selfish. It works that way. Let's jump in injuries. Harry Maguire, we saw the boot, unknown. The latest quote, he's obviously had the scans, and the good news is there's no fracture. There's ligament damage, but hopefully he'll be ready for the final. So he's basically chasing fitness for the final, sir. Harry will play in the final. It doesn't matter if they got to duct tape that foot onto his leg. Anthony Martial, he's coming back. He's in training. Dan James is out. He's out for a little while. Nothing. We don't know exactly what. And then Phil Jones cashing checks, buying pink Lamborghinis, whatever he does. sir, given those injuries, what is your lineup?
This is who I've got. I've got Hendo and Net, back four. It's going to be AWB, Lindelof, Baye, and Shaw. Wow, our fullbacks make quite a difference. Can't wait to have the two starters ready to go. I'm going to do Fred McTominay, Pogba, Bruno, Greenwood, Cavani. Rashford takes a rest. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I don't think he's going to play Greenwood again, but that's who I'd like to see. Who you got, sir?
Sir, I got Hendo, AWB, Lindelof, Baye, Shaw, same as you. Sir, I'm going for it. McTominay, Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Cavani, Greenwood. Sir, I want to go for it. I want to line up like against Full Metal, whatever Full Jersey, whatever Klopp describes his heavy metal football or whatever. I want to go toe to toe. I want an exciting game. I want to attack, 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 sir. I want it to be open. I want it to be like what Manchester United versus Gallus Bastard should be and what it used to be. And it was end-to-end thrilling stuff. I don't want – we've seen too much negative football in these games, and we got to go for this one, man.
Sir, I want to be playing Russell Crowe. Are you not entertained after this game? Like, we just do him dirty because I know we can do it. I know we can do it. We have the better players. We have the better team. I'm so up for this game, especially after losing it today, you know, with the B squad, which is not a bad B squad, to be honest. We gave, you know, the fourth ranked team in the league a run for their money. Maybe they're third now after winning. But I can't wait, sir. Scousers. Anytime I can see Klopp and his big old teeth just like yammering about why they should have won, it's priceless.
Totally, it is. Bookies have it where we're the favorites. Plus 140, draw plus 260, Scouse Bastards plus 175. Sir, the first goal scorer odds, though, they got Salah plus 360. He's odds on favorite. Then Cavani and Mane are next with Bruno Fernandes right behind him. Given those are the bookies' odds, what is your score prediction for the Scouse Bastards versus Manchester United, sir, at home? Second, we're doing this for the second time. We're trying this again. It got blocked. It got delayed.
Take two. Here we go. I'm going to say 3-1. You know, we're leaky, especially leaky without Harry Slabhead. And comeback city again. You know, they score early, maybe a little bit of magic, and then we just kind of turn the screws, come back, and then pour an extra one on for padding. What do you got?
Sir, quick looking at the bookies. Shaqiri to score plus 1,000, sir. That's the punt.
I think it's Mason Greenwood plus 750, somehow behind Ahmad, and he's, you know.
No, I just think you can make fun of Liverpool players that Shaqiri still plays for their team. I think that's a right. Sir, I'm going to say 3-0. Sir, clean sheet, and we smoke them. Let's go. We got some news.
Let's go.
United in the news. Sir, he signed the thing. Edie Cavani, stay in another year. Perfect time for United's number 7 to pen up. I love how they did it before the final. Like, yo, we did it. Let's lock it. We good. Like, this is momentum right here. You know, so maybe this is Murtaugh, but this is a sign that he got something done, and he got it done at the right time because he's saying, hey, I'm staying here. That's a big commitment. Hopefully that gives assurances to all the other players headed into the final. I think this is momentum for this crew, this locker room. Sign this contract. Good vibes all around.
Absolutely right. You really good point. It's like it was done, confirmed, done and dusted, announced before the Europa League final. So it's not contingent on us winning silverware. He's still around for another go. Dude, everybody knows how we feel about Edie Cavani. Big time player, like one of the best number nines we've had since RVP in just terms of natural goal scoring ability, movement. And is also a good lad. Seems like a great guy, you know. So very excited about this. It gives Mr. Murtaugh one less thing to worry about in the summer because he's got a job on his hand to begin with, the ins, the outs, the loan deals that we need to turn into sales, seeing what happens with Pogba and De Gea. So you don't want to throw that on top as well that we need a new number nine. So at least this is like set in stone. We got Eddie for another year, big time player. I'm pumped. Great news. This is better than a win today.
No, absolutely. I mean, Cavani, he's everything we need. You said it right. It's like the less things we need to do this summer, the better. So if Pogba's going to run his deal down, like I view that as good just because we don't have to go out and try to replace Paul Pogba. You know, I think that would just be very difficult to do. The less players that leave, especially out of this nucleus that is performing well and has all the momentum right now, the better for the club going forward. So well done to whoever, sir. I'm not going to give Eddie credit, Ed Woodward credit here on this podcast, but I think, you know, this must be Murtaugh, so good on him for getting it done. I'm going to say good things when he deserves it, sir. Next bit of news here. Per the Sun, Manchester United on verge of Tom Heaton transfer, with Aston Villa keeper returning to club for free to replace Sergio Romero. Look, goalkeepers going to be a lot of ins and outs. I imagine David De Gea ain't sticking around to play cup keeper, bro. Right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. He's clearly second fiddle. He's in the rotated team. He's playing like in Europa League. I have to think De Gea is like, this is it for him at United. And then it becomes, we need backups, obviously, because Romero's going to be moving. So again, a lot of movement at keeper. I guess we're going with Dino, right?
That seems to be the case. You know, I think this is kind of setting in stone, right? Sergio Romero is a pretty good backup keeper, to be fair. We haven't seen a sniff of him. Lee Grant, I don't know where he's at, but I think it leaked that we weren't re-upping his contract after telling him otherwise. Welcome to the Ed Woodward special. Tell you one thing, do something different behind your back.
That's the definition of the Ed Woodward special.
Yeah, basically. Just lie to you. Two-face. But Tom Heaton, I mean, he's like a decent backup keeper. You know, it looks like we're going all in on Dean Henderson. I'm not sure Tom Heaton's better than Sergio Romero, who's a pretty good backup keeper, something I keep around. Looks like on his day, very, very solid. One of the best keepers probably in the league. Top five, I would argue. So I guess we know what's happening now. Like you said, I think De Gea's out. And that's, you know, the end of the Spaniards era.
I do have mixed feelings about it, man. I really do have mixed feelings about it. De Gea, where'd it go wrong? You know, it's like one of the, you know, kind of like, it's like one of those, it's like, you know, breaking up with a girlfriend. You're like, where'd it go wrong? Like, we had it. We were together. You signed the long-term deal, De Gea. You signed it. Why'd you have to make those errors?
And that's where it went wrong. It's like you moved in. I guess you moved in too soon, or you proposed too soon, but you did something wrong with that girlfriend. It was that big deal, dude. Ever since the big deal, it's been downhill since then, unfortunately.
I feel sad about that one. I wanted De Gea to go off in front of the fans, clapped off like the legend he is, get the exit he deserves. And if he goes this summer and there's like, there's going to be no fans. I mean, there'll be fans at the final Europa League, I guess. So if he should play that, then technically he will get the send off. So that makes me feel a little bit better. But again, it's tough to let go of De Gea, no?
It is, because, you know, you talked about it with Hendo a couple weeks ago. He's had some gaffes in his day. Not that many at Man United. He's had one or two, but he's had a bunch before his kind of knockout Sheffield year where he was killing it, one of the best keepers in the league. So you're going a little single-threaded, as they like to say. It's like you're going all in on a bit of an unproven entity, but I guess that's all we got at the moment. We made our move with Hendo. He is the future, so all you can do is let the highest paid goalkeeper in the world go, which is sad because, dude, De Gea is a United legend, brought in by Fergie, you know, stole the donut. Great story. Just like accidentally stole a donut. I guess he thought donuts were free. I don't know how that one works.
Sir, I don't think donuts are free in Spain.
They're not.
I think De Gea is just a boss. I think he walks into the grocery store and starts eating their food. He just goes up to, he goes up to the Whole Foods like buffet, just grabs a rotisserie chicken, just starts eating it in the grocery store.
Good for him. I mean, good for him. Why not?
Good to miss him. All right, next bit of news from Bild, which is very legitimate as far as Bundesliga news. Manchester United won Jadon Sancho before the Euros and are willing to offer 90 million euros. Sir, that's less than the 90 million, I think, right? The last price we were quoted was not up. No, I don't track the euro pound USD exchange. So that's probably in the region we've talked about, 75 million pounds, which would equate to around 90 million euros. So, yeah, I mean, we should do it. The Glazers are sweating. They're losing sponsors. They need fans on side. Unfortunately, I hope the fans don't take the bait here. Obviously, I want Jadon Sancho. I think he'd be great for the team. But at the end of the day, like, don't take the bait, fans. Like, got to keep the protest up.
You know, the one thing that gives this legs is that Glazers are sweating it, and they know the easiest way to satiate the fans is to give them something they want. And we all want Jadon Sancho, especially with number nine taken care of. We need depth on the wing. We do need an out and out right winger. It's like, you know, Greenwood should be pushing for number nine because he is such a talent. So I want Jadon Sancho. United should get Jadon Sancho, kind of set in stone our right winger for the next 10 years. But we'll see. I believe I've never known us to do deals early in my entire tenure as a Manchester United fan in the post Fergie era. It just, I haven't seen it happen once. So if it does, that'd be great. But I'll believe it when I see it.
All right, sir. Jumping into the fan questions. Thank you for everyone who tweeted us, commented, got us your questions, comments, and banter. It's super high. We love these tweets, sir. At Dave Paz, quote, would have liked a win, but am not that bothered. Shitty's win was inevitable, and we've got Champions League sorted, but we have made it harder for those scouse fuckers to get top four. If they're playing for Hans and Franz in Uzbekistan next year, the loss is worth it. I love it. That's some hot banner, sir.
We are the best fans in the world, because that's spot on. That's basically what we've been saying for the last 40 minutes. Nailed it.
At Mike J. Bods, I blame United Security. They knew about that protest and weren't prepared. Only ourselves to blame for that fixture pileup and having to play reserves who don't have the quality to create and win games at this level. We have gifted Leicester fourth place spot and City the early title. That's like he's playing some 3D chess there with that one.
No, I mean, it is on United management to kind of see ahead of the curve, be proactive instead of just reactive. They knew protests were coming. You know, they were protesting the game before, at least the league game, before the Scouse Bastard match. So they should have had their shit together. They should have called, you know, Manchester's finest, the PD, and gotten things sorted and ready to go. And instead, you get the fixture pile up. I think Ole handled it well. You got to rotate. It's all about, you know... enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's like, hey, Leicester City, I'd rather have them finish in the top four than Liverpool, than Tottenham. I mean, it's like, come on, why not?
So they're generally likable aside from Brendan Rodgers, you know, like who just like it looks like the most dislikable guy you could ever meet, probably. At Florida CPA 325. Quote, it was a lineup we would put out for an early round in the Carabao Cup, and we lose because of two impressive goals to a top four side. Not worried at all. We got good rotation, and young new guys got to play in the Premier League onto the Europa League final. Hashtag Glazers out. I think that's spot on. At Reds Pilot, it shows that United's B team needs improving. The boys did okay against Leicester, but they also look tired. No one cares. The Birdies has now won the title. It's more important the Scousers play on Thursday nights. Totally agree at Reds Pilot. We got to be keeping the Scouse Bastards. Hans and Franz will be excited about that. I'm sure the Hans and Franz are going to be featured on a lot of Scouse Bastards podcasts. So, you know, got to keep them employed.
If they're doing anything right, I don't know who runs a Scouse podcast. That's a tough life, but it's definitely involving Hans and Franz to a certain extent. So we picked them up too late. Maybe that's because we were in Champions League to start the season, but that's like, I'm telling you, song of the summer. We're going to win it, and I'm going to play on that every day, every single day.
At Burkett Mets, the expected result after the FA gave us 3 games in 5 days, a little bit of 4D chess to send Liverpool to Uzbekistan on Thursday nights. Looking forward to a less congested fixture schedule next season, or will you miss the frequent football? Sir, what do you think? I'm going to say this week I'm getting smoked at work, and the fact that we're recording these and I'm like keeping my life together is amazing. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a strong finish for this team. But I don't know. I was happy we were playing Leicester. I mean, I'm just busy as hell. That's the only problem. It's like, I like the games on the weekends because it's more of like a ritual where you like get up and we meet up for the match. You know, I prefer that versus this kind of crazy Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday. It's just like it's a little too much. Like once a week is right.
Yeah, once a week plus cups, right? Midweek. There's a balance. All of a sudden playing like, you know, 3 games, 5 days. Boys weren't at their best. I'm not at my best. I'm not, you know, it's like I've been stretched. Yeah. I'm the same thing. You got work. You got life. I think normalcy will definitely help this side. It's like we have a pretty set on 11 plus another 3, 4, 5, 6 rotation players. Dude, when it's a normal schedule, I don't think we're going to be grinding it out so much. So I think it's best for football in general. It's like it's not good for the players to be playing this many games in such a tight packing. It's too much.
At JDW300, felt like a big lack of chemistry with the overhaul. Didn't feel like everyone knew where they were or what each other were doing. Wanted at least the draw, but no one expected the loss. did blow handing Shitty the title, though, onto Demolition for the Scouse Bastards. Totally agree there. It stings Shitty got the title on our, you know, on our loss, right? You know, it's not a great sir. At Rolling in Deep 1995, I wish we would have defended better on that set piece. Great point. We haven't talked about that too much, sir. There's the set piece defending continues to be atrocious. Although it doesn't matter in the long run, but I would have loved for us to come away unbeaten, if not with a win. But the good thing is we're all rested up for the Scouse Bastards. I think that's what everyone's really focused on here. And the last tweet, at Ty Kircher, it's weird that I'm not overly bothered by the result. Hate losing and losing a chance at the title, but lots of rotation. And to be honest, more important matches coming up. Sort of takes the depth of this one away. Focus on the Scousers and your Europa League final. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Ty, I think that sends us off. I think you hit it on the head. It's like, it sucks, but I think there's more good down the line for United than bad out of this one, especially Shitty winning the title.
Absolutely. I think the fans have got it right. I hope we tried to get it right today. There's, you know, even with a loss, we're not usually this level-headed. There is goodness. We saw a lot of goodness in the side, a lot of potential, you know, some kind of takings. Maybe he should rotate a little bit more in the past, but nothing to be too fussed about. We handed them the title, but, you know, in some ways it's better because, like, they win it. I think on Thursday they play in Newcastle. They win it, and then they get to celebrate all the field and have a big deal. It's like, you know, the news and that got broke. We lost. The title's there, and, like, 40 fans showed up in front of the stadium and, like, stole one of our chants about the Busby Babes. And it's like, dude, let them have it. Let them and the 40 fans have it.
If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. You can support the podcast on Patreon. Also, check out our online store. We have the Glazers Out Scarves back in stock, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on store. We also have amazing fan blog content on americanreddevils.com. Please check it out. It's for fans, by fans. So we're always looking for writers. You can email us about anything if you want to write, americanreddevils@gmail.com. We love doing this, sir. It's been a hell of a season. It's not over yet. I want a big win. I want a few Cavani headers. The Cavani header. I could watch Cavani header goal highlights all day. He is a savage. The way he heads the ball, the way he does. It is incredible the goals he has scored already for Manchester United. I mean, like, sir, I'm just getting, you know, I'm doing, sir, you can write a review on iTunes.
I love Eddie Cavani. Tell us about how much you like the pod. Tell us about how much you like Eddie Cavani. Dude, he's such a player. I mean, he's fun to, like you said, watch all the goals and assists he's already had. They've all been class, and they've all been important. They've all been really important.
All I'll say, production. He just produces. It's just, like, unbelievable when you see a player like that. Sir, give us our top downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? Dublin, Ireland. Number two, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Atlanta, Georgia. Oak Park, Illinois. L.A., California, El Trafico, number six, Cairo, Egypt, Albany, New York, Chicago, Illinois, Rangoon, Switzerland, and last but not least, Camden, New Jersey. Appreciate all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. We love the fans, love your support. Now let's push on. Big end of the season. Let's finish hard, firm in second, and let's beat up Villarreal in that Europa League final in Gdansk. Slabhead back, I hope.
Absolutely. As always,
we'll be kicking a blue.